So, Gunnar, in Sweden, have you got organic farmer politicians?
No.
Tell us about them.
Should I tell you about the organic farmer politicians?
Yeah, I think we don't have, on such a high level, we don't have, but I mean, we have had governments that have been speaking about organic farming for decades. They started to promote organic farming from the government level in the mid-80s. Of course, pushed by the organic sector, but we have some farmers on the municipal level that are organic. I think Swedish farmers have stayed out of politics quite a lot.
And when David was talking about more money thrown into the sector for research, does that touch your little heart?
Yeah, certainly it would be really exciting to see some funding coming in to support research and extension and teaching. I think there's a substantial body of knowledge that's already been developed by producers working on their own, absorbing the cost of doing it on their own, that needs to be tested and validated and extended. We need to know if it works in more than one farm or only on north-facing slopes or only on clay soils or whatever. There needs to be vehicles for extending this information. When the industry was very small, everybody knew everybody and you could sort of share and that was enough. But the problem now is you're getting to be so good at what you're doing that there's a lot more of you. And there needs to be some institutional support for extension per se. And this is a major weakness, I think. In addition to research, I would dearly love to see some more research funding coming in and focusing on on-farm research. I think there's 100 ways of going about this, and I think to the credit of the Ontario government, I think we should recognize that they did give us some funding last year specifically to prioritize organic research in the province. So, and that final report is now overdue. But it will be coming up soon, and I think that bodes well for the organic industry. You will meet our new dean tomorrow morning. I believe he's going to be at Gunnar's keynote, and he's very interested in the organic sector. He's just brand new kid on the block, just arrived in January, and I think we can look for some good things in that direction as well. So I think you guys are on a roll, and this is an encouraging time.
Joel, this is a specific U.S. question because one of the people in the audience said that the USDA is really the controlling factor in the U.S. farm economy. Is that true, or what about the USDA's current involvement with organic agriculture?
The USDA's involvement, as far as dollar-wise and controlling the economy, definitely does, to the tune of 30-some percent of the income, look at some $1 billion. As the price of soybeans goes down, the American farmer doesn't really worry because there's a payment limitation of $50,000. But then they do this loan thing. It's not to pay a loan back, it's a trade that gets around the limitation thing, And so farmers are getting $300,000-$400,000 worth of government payments. And it's all happened the last few years, and most of the public doesn't even know about it, that they're propping that system up with their tax dollars. As soon as you pull that segment out, it collapses. I mean, it collapses like a torrent. So it's big time subsidy. I realize, they talk about European subsidy, and you're counter on that in the conventional world. As far as in the organic world, I can't say that I was beating the door down for USDA rules, but I knew they were going to happen. And I've heard about them for 20 years, and I think they are still going to happen, aren't they? And they are coming. Christmas is coming in, too. As far as the implementation, it's close, and it's maybe a necessary evil, but it's just a part of the deal. We're not really wanting to put them in control as far as the certification. We've always wanted a better certification process across state lines, and I think it'll start to get us that. There will be some complications. There is some complications. But the money thing is a big thing, and I'm saying even in some of the last events here of the last 6 months, going from a supposedly surplus that was only a surplus in the short-term balancing of the checkbook. They really had to pay any debt off or very little. So now we've lost that. And, not to sidetrack too much here, but there's going to be some real ramifications. It's not stopped yet, and the stock market is on its way back up yet, even though the paper said it was today. be what a short time, not to forecast doom, unless somebody else's country wants to sacrifice their economy to ours so we can keep it going up. And that's the problem here. It's like, Walmart is going to go in and take it. So if somebody else wants to line up for that, we can keep the economy going. If not, we've got to get back to reality and make things actually start paying and bring harm pays in our community. And it's going to pay better as we really get the farmers to, we're going to say, produce the value, the product value, and the value of the product they produce, and then to move that up through the marketing chain. Some of that is being done. I appreciate that we're representing for the voluntary market where we have the middleman. And I also would say that, some farmers are very held up for election and getting rid of the middleman. That's the only problem. Well, that's not really the problem in my book, I'm saying, but we do want to work to keep the middleman honest and let the middleman know that if he doesn't do his job, we may move up and do it because we can do that in these times. But the value in the food, and to get a farmer to value the food, is a major challenge, even for our organic. And I hope you can understand I'm saying that as a farmer. But it's a major hurdle, and we're getting close. And that hurdle, when it happens, we can really go with that. But we've got to make that process work all the way through the system. And so it becomes a value-based system, and it'll work much better. And even right now we're going to capitalize on that. So it's a capitalist type system. I think we had a talk earlier today. How many years ago I maybe didn't consider myself quite the capitalist as I am today. But the opportunity is there. We are not capitalist. And it's a very, very big opportunity. Anybody that's here has to think back the last 20 years. And look at the growth of the program and start to project that growth. And then start to project that growth if we all come together and manage it better. We are a measurable part of the food system and a very big growing part of the food system. Hope that's good.
David, a question that's from the audience, which kind of ties into what you said, and they use a very interesting word here. Said support small producers, repatriate the profits to farmers. Does that not tie in with your talk that money's got to be poured back into the alternative and ecological farming sectors? Repatriate is a very strong word.
Yes, but organic agriculture doesn't require a lot of subsidies. I think organic farmers are making their income right now from the marketplace. What they have to have, and what we have to have, is some help in terms of transition and getting conventional farmers a way to come to the organic path, because there are many who would like to do it. I have a neighbor in Saskatchewan, farms 10,000 acres of land. He works in a mine. And his wife works as a teacher to try to make it pay. Now this is absolutely ridiculous, and this kind of agricultural pattern is not working. He said, "Well, how can I but to become organic, you have to take 10 years, and you have to do this." And this is, I said, "You don't have to take 10 years. Actually, there's a 3-year process." But he had no idea of what it would take. And what we have to have is concrete research and concrete transition programs that allow farmers to move. Right now, all of the push from the government up till very, very recently, there was a sneering kind of reaction from government towards organic agriculture. And most of our university research is being financed now by these large companies that have no interest in actually promoting agriculture. We have to get the government back into the research that it once did, so we've got research that benefits the people, not just that benefits the bottom line of some of corporations that are that are actually taking over the funding of our universities. This is the kind of thing we have to have. We don't need to have subsidies given to farmers, but the second next thing we have to do is we have to restore the infrastructure. That the railroads that were built in this country at public first are being ripped up. They're being sold. They're being sold to American companies. Of course, CN Rail built taxpayers' expenses, now 70% U.S. control, and the short lines that are being sold all across the West and here as well are being sold into the hands of American companies. We have to get that infrastructure back, because that's something that's been financed by the citizens of this country. So those are the kind of programs that we have to have. It's not giving money to farmers. I don't think most farmers are asking for that. What we have to have is these kind of concrete infrastructure restoration, and then the programs to move towards organic agriculture. And we don't, as far as I know, and someone might correct me in this, I don't think we even have a degree-granting course in Canada in organic agriculture, unless that's changed very, very recently. The Europeans are far ahead of us in that. Good. Yeah, I hope you can correct me, but it's very, very, very small, and we have to have, of course, much more in that direction as well. Thanks. It's all
yours. Yeah, I got to put in a plug. This is, a year ago, I would have agreed with you, but now that isn't true. We actually do have a course, and I have the undergraduate and diploma students as well to thank for this. And you can shake their hand tomorrow at the Sustainable Agriculture Table, because they're manning that booth. This course is just up and running. 35 students are enrolled in it. We are basing this on 12 case study farms that we studied last year. And many of these producers are in the audience today. Others will be interviewed by the students over the course of the term. So we are getting it started. And I know, Ralph, you've got work underway as well. Do you want to comment?
Just to say that we have four courses. They will be starting in September 2002, and they'll be on the internet.
Where?
At NSAC, the Organic Agriculture Center.
Okay.
OrganicAgCenter.ca.
Yeah, these are degree courses, that's right.
Dr. Ralph Martin is from the Nova Scotia Ag College, which is going to be focusing that program.
Great.
Congratulations.
I just want to say that once you got the research going here more actively in Canada, I invite you to take part in the IFRO research network that we are just about to create, because there is a lot of organic research going on, and of course you first have to look into your local situation, but sooner or later you also want to interact with other research institutions, and we are creating a network within IFRO for organic researchers.
Okay, this is going to be what we call the one question rapid fire, just to wrap up this portion, and I'll simply go around the table with a question from the audience, and the panelist has got to give a one sentence answer.
It's a run on sentence.
Gunnar. They can put commas in the answer. Gunnar, does organic agriculture represent the survival of the planet?
Organic agriculture represents an important step in the direction of survival of the planet, but it does not represent the survival of the planet itself.
And what is the value of a national, accessible, affordable, mandatory accreditation system for organics?
Students and from people I speak to in the public is, okay, so it says it's organic, so what? What does that mean? How confident can I be? I don't know who produced this product. So certainly it needs to be there, but it needs to be done in a way that is meaningful. Accreditation needs to mean something. It doesn't need to cost an arm and a leg. And consumers need to be confident that it means something. So yes, is my answer.
David, what would be your number one way of connecting the public to the organic producer?
I'm not sure. I think the battle to clean up our food supply would be the number one way. I think that there's no way that the organic producers can do much without the consumer. And it's the consumer pressure that's going to change things. And I want to emphasize that people have to put pressure on the government. There's a whole mentality that all governments is useless, they can't do anything. But change can happen when people put pressure on their governments. And we saw that with the bovine growth hormone when we had an amalgamation of producers, but it was mainly consumers, and it was Senator Eugene Whalen, the Liberal senator, who led the battle, and it was stopped. So that's just a concrete example. I think that fight together to clean up our food supply, to clean up the environment, I think that will bring the organic producer and the consumer together.
And Joe, what is your prime way to see that organic producers get as much media and print paper exposure?
In order to do that, as an organic grower, you have to prepare it and make it happen. I mean, it has to be an effort, and it's an organized. It should be an organized effort, but there will also be some that will just come. But if you really want to do that, you've got to organize it and make it happen.